Most of you look pretty good. No, I'm just playing. Half of you look all right. No, I'm still playing. My name is Dustin. This beautiful woman, she's running off. Come back, come back. This is Darlene, my beautiful bride. You did good to me. Yeah. I always tell people God clearly loves me more than her. I mean, because when we got married, I got her, and she got...
I got a wonderful husband. A wonderful husband.
This is my microphone. Back off. What you saying? We are missionaries, and we travel around the world preaching the gospel. We're ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do three things. We go and we preach the gospel to people who have never heard it. And you're going to see some of that tonight. We're honored to step in the generation after the future generation that's went before us and just carry on the baton of the gospel to more people and to more people groups. We try to inspire people just like you to be involved in the Great Commission, but not only that, to really live a revolutionary life for Jesus Christ. Yeah. I heard Pastor Joel, he said one of the things that he really wants is to teach people how to live the life. Amen. That's me too, just the same mission, to live that abundant life. And the third thing we do is we deploy, and you're going to hear more about that later. But we just want to thank you guys for having us. Pastor, he's not here tonight, but I want you to know that I love your pastor. Before we even sit down, I just want to honor him. And I want to tell a really fast story. Because I think I know one of the many millions of reasons God chose your pastor. We're in Peru. Some of you were on that mission trip with us, Marco. And when we were there, I got halfway into altitude sickness. I caught a parasite. Marco wound up in the hospital somewhere. Pastor Joel got his wallet jacked while we were praying for somebody. You got to watch the mission field, man. But we prayed for this man, and we were all very green, and we were learning, and we didn't see any change at that exact moment. I'll never forget it. And we went back to the room, and it was kind of a bummer, you know? I've learned since then, the God ain't done when you walk away.
That's right. That's right.
But we were learning. Mm-hmm. And I got this little phone call. My room was the only room with TV, so people always came to our room for some reason. But I got this phone call, and I answered it, and it was Pastor Joel. I'll never forget it. And he said, could you come out to the balcony? And we went out to the balcony, and Pastor Joel was weeping and crying over that man who did not walk in front of our sight. That's the kind of heart that God can use. And I just want to honor him tonight. He's not here, but I just want to honor him and honor your leadership.
Yes.
Sweetheart. I guess I'm going to do all the talking, because you won't say anything. You can lean in close. Oh.
Congratulations, Pastor Joel, on the son.
And
what do you mean?
Is it?
Okay.
I love you. Tonight I was walking in the door, and this place is extremely special. You can sit down. I was going to make you stand up all night, but I'm not going to be me. I've been working out, you know. I'm trying to bring people with me. I walked into church tonight, and I want to tell you, when I was 16 or 17, I can't remember, the Lord spoke a couple things to me. One of the things he told me was that I would preach at a large Christian television network, and it has happened. And then one of the other things, I've kept silent except to my parents. He told me one day I would preach at Word of Life Church. And tonight is a fulfillment of something very special to my heart. But I'm nervous. I'm going to tell you why I'm nervous. Because some of my heroes are in this room. Brother Dean, the walking Bible over there. I walked in. He's like, oh, brother, I love you. I'm so excited about to hear you. And I didn't say nothing because I didn't know what to say. Pastor Paige over there, how many times I listened. Pastor Ronnie, I'll never forget one day he was in front of the, television cameras, and he would always be like, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And one day, I remember he was dancing. He kind of turned around toward the camera. It kind of shook it a little bit. I'll never forget it. It left a lasting impression on my mind. I learned about faith in this church. I learned how to quote the word of God in this church. And this church creates and puts out great men and women of God. Miss Susan, I remember her teaching me in Sunday school. She taught us to ask God to unzip the scriptures, and I've been using it ever since. Do you remember that? You do remember that. All right. And someone else, my parents are here, mom and dad. They don't get to hear me preach much, so they're here tonight, and they actually graduated from Word of Life Bible Training Center. So we are a product of this church, and I feel like family with you tonight. So I'm going to talk to you like family. And I know God's got some amazing, amazing, amazing things He wants to speak to you. Now, our anointing and what God uses us for so often is to inspire people to a new level of surrender and giving all. He has graced us to do some amazing things around the world. We've preached in the last 5 years in 20 nations or 2022, I can't remember. We've traveled around the world for 14 months just with a bag and a Bible and a camera. And I'm going to talk a lot about that. But tonight I know God has got a new level He wants to bring you to. Some of you are going to step on a path tonight that changes your life. Because that's what Jesus does. If I know anything about Jesus, He changes lives. So in just a minute, I'm going to show you a quick video. Not quick, it's actually pretty long. A very long video. And I want to prep the video, but I want you to really pay attention. We had to cut it up even shorter. We have a television show called The Revolutionary Life, and it's a mission reality-based television show. Crazy, I know. But we take our camera into all the places we go, and for the last 5 years, we've documented absolutely everything as it happens. There is no backup crew. There is no camera crew. I would like a camera crew. Come on, somebody. Come on. volunteers, you know. Got one. Write her name down. Anyway, we don't have that backup crew. We got Jesus, the Word, and He has come through with again and again and again. So you're about to watch a video. It's a few minutes long. Hang tight. And it's of China. And it's not the normal missionary video. It's got some funny parts. You're going to see God do a miracle on my body. You're going to see people that you may never see in your life. In Tibet, China. And we get to have the privilege and the honor to bring the name of Jesus to them for the first time. Ah, it's awesome. But it starts out with us on the side of a mountain about to push the car in the snow. So this is the video. It's not the show intro. It's the other one, Tibet clip. You guys go ahead and roll that. Hope you guys enjoy it.
Thank you. Dustin continued to rest while I stood outside to get us some snacks. When I peered out, I was amazed. Dustin is sitting up in bed, and I'm just thrilled beyond belief.
Yeah. see that part of the movie. I'm like, yeah, but it's not just a movie. It's true. And they put him on the cross, and they put a nail in the hand, after he died, they buried him. 3 days afterwards, he woke up. He was resurrected back to life. The punishment for our sin, he took it for us. He said that God, for those who believe in him, he would give his merit to those who would choose to follow, to believe in Jesus. And the reason we go off the road and tell this story is because we know that God loves people.
And I remember what it was like, well, that's good news. That's good news. Exactly. That's the gospel.
We share the gospel message with OJ. And the answer we got was, well, it's good, it's good, it's good. And then I showed him behind him and started reading, you know, and it feeds him. He said he believed it was true, it was all. The thing that seems funny in the bad way to be so. But we have four, one of the two of them are feet. We each have a church home, and we have our brothers in the long sleeve. We have two friends, two different sorts of.
The next morning, we woke with the yak playing in the tent and snow on the ground everywhere. It had turned into a winter wonderland overnight. We spent some time with the family that morning. They dressed us in that and into bedding clothes. And before we knew it, our time was up. Weather was coming in and we had to leave.
No matter what the altitude problems we faced, no matter how far we had to push a car on the snow on top of the mountains, or how many buses and trains we had to take to get here, plant the first seeds of the gospel to people who never heard and it's so good.
And now we're going to get out and wait on us, and we're going to go say goodbye to everybody.
This is something we're going to get.
Thank you, Jesus. That's awesome, isn't it? We have a couple things in the back I want to tell you about. But that's just a few minutes of about 12 hours of video. This is a 3-DVD set of 11 episodes, and a couple hours of us acting crazy in the deleted scenes as well. And it's back here in the back. I really want you to step back here and get it. And who in here really just has, who can be the first one that I can see to stand up and say, I have a heart for the nations to see the world come to Jesus. I have a heart for the mission field. Oh, saw you first. Come on. You got to move quick, y'all. What's up with that? And one other thing, I have written a fantasy book. I believe we need to introduce hope into the literary world. We need to introduce light. There's a lot of dark, sad, depressing stuff out right now. And I love reading the Chronicles of Narnia and things like that that bring light to children. This is really written for like middle grade age. And I want to give it to some parent who thinks their kid might be interested. Who's up for it? Anybody? You. I saw you. Got to run. If you got your Bibles, open them to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse 31 through 36. Let's get into the Word of God tonight. We're going to move really quick. I think that our videos speak more volumes than we can speak about what we do if we just take you there and show you. We preach large group meetings, and then we go to the one. It's wherever the Lord leads us. And it's really tonight I want to talk to you about a lot of that feeling that we got at the end of that video, that thrill that I am fulfilled, I am blessed, I am not lacking. At the point, at the end of that video you just watched, when we shared with the nomadic Tibetans and then we came back, we were weeping in the room. We were truly crying. I mean, we don't make this stuff up. It's not done up. We were weeping because we felt fulfilled. We felt like we had found life. And once you taste that, I mean, it's addictive. You're alive. You're like really, really living. And that's why we call it revolutionary life, because you feel like a revolutionary. You feel like you're a part of something huge, and you know that God is taking you somewhere. So how do you find that life? How do you grasp the life? How do you live the life? Let's read verse 31 through 36, Mark 8, 31 through 36. Verse 31 says, as he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again, he spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. That's a no-no. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." And when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" I feel like personally we live a very blessed life for what we do. It was a few years back, 5 years ago, that I was working at a church in Laurel, Mississippi, the booming city of Laurel. And I had already been to Indonesia on a mission trip. We went to Peru on a mission trip, a short term. I was in Indonesia for 5 months. And then Darlene and I had gotten married, and how we met is a story on its own, how God brought people together. But after a year of being married, 3.5 years working at this church, I got where I couldn't sleep at night. I would wake up at night thinking about my friends in Indonesia. I say it in one of the books that I'm writing. I felt like they would peek over the edge of my bed and stare at me at night, saying, "Will you not come back and help us?" And it got so tough that it was hard to concentrate. I was a youth pastor, and so I was teaching the youth how you can win India for Jesus. And they're like, "I'm just trying not to be bad, you know?" And it got all mixed up in there. And then it finally came a point where I was asleep one night. I was asleep, just snoring because I snore. And I woke up because God spoke to me. You know, most of the time, 95% of the time, God speaks through a very silent inner voice, a seeming. It seems like this is right. But every once in a while, he'll freak you out and speak a different way. Well, that night, I woke up, and listen to what the Lord said to me. I sat up in bed. Darlene, you know. And I told her, God just told me this exact phrase. You need to know that life is short. And I'm like, I'm going to die? What's going on, God? Are you going to kill me? I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. I repent. But I found out later that that's right out of the Bible in James chapter 4. It literally says in James 4:13 and 14, it says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. You're alive, and then it's over. Even the longest 120-year life, because we're all going to live till we're 120, right? Even the longest life is short. And what the Lord was speaking to me then is, if you keep waiting to surrender your life fully to me, one day you're going to look back and say, why didn't I surrender my life fully to God? We got down on our knees, Darlene and I, and we prayed, and we knew he was leading us. But he wasn't leading us, you know, to go spend a couple weeks in, like, I don't know, Hawaii. Y'all pray he does. He was leading us to get rid of everything that we had, downsize from an apartment to a backpack, put it on our shoulder, get as much money as we could, and take off traveling around the world until he told us to come home. We knelt and we prayed. And when we got up, our conclusion was the only reason we would not obey God would be out of fear. And then I remember it is the wisdom of the Lord, and fear is not a good enough master to obey. So we did. God sent us around the world. We opened our house. We didn't have time to sell anything. We opened our house and we said, the youth, come over, get what you want. And the ladies of the youth went crazy in Darlene's closet. It was insane. It was like cattle herding. It was. But when everything was beat down and taken, we left. One-way ticket. We had a one-way ticket. We had $600 in the bank. We had a promise of somewhere between $400 and $600 a month. And we were gone. We landed in Malaysia, and 14 months later, we returned to the United States, having circled the globe and preached the gospel in 12 out of 14 of those nations. We preached the gospel to witch doctors. We preached the gospel to far-reaching places in the jungle, into the mountains. We preached messages in front of thousands and hundreds and ones. And somewhere along that way, we got addicted to this life of preaching the gospel. After 14 months, it was time to come home. God said it's time to go home. And we were in London. And I remember my mind was going, hey, we could book a ticket back to Egypt. We could book a ticket to India, no problem. We could still keep going. I was game, you know? And the Lord was like, go home. And Darlene and I wept. Wept. On this journey, we ate bat, we ate dog, goat brains. We slept in corn sheds, in tents, on the ground, in beds. And we wept because it was coming to an end. Y'all pray for us. Why did I cry? Why did we literally hate that this part of our life was coming to an end? Because we had grasped something. We had found something that was better than any riches, any fluffy pillow, any, oh, I'm trying to eat right, but man, any double quarter pounder with cheese, no onions, extra pickles. Oh, Jesus. It was better. We were alive. It was abundant life. I was full. I was full. I had nothing that I wanted at that point. I was thrilled. Thrilled is the word. I was thrilled with being alive. And we found life sleeping on floors, eating crazy foods. We found abundance and feeling God's joy when we told people that Jesus wanted to take them to heaven. But it was so confusing because my original calling was something about helping to revolutionize the United States and helping to prepare the way of the Lord by winning the harvest. You know, it's all of our calling, but that was what he spoke to me. And I didn't understand when he first sent me out. You know, I'm like, Lord, we're going to change America. He's like, go to Indonesia. What? And when we left, it didn't make sense how we were going to grasp the life, that fulfillment, or grasp the future that he had for us. But I found out somewhere around Thailand about month 5 or 6 on the trip, we plugged in our computer to a wall at a guest house and it fried the thing. Get this, we had a camera. Someone bought us a $3,000 professional camera. You know? We were taping everything. We didn't know anybody in Christian television. So my computer fried. And I always do these nice graphical newsletters. The next month, it was like a black and white letter, help. Because we make our own stuff and all that stuff. I have a history in that. But somewhere in that email, it got circulated and it landed on one desk and landed on another desk and wound up introducing us to a guy who eventually took that video and helped us put it on television. It was on that trip that we met the contacts that have helped us preach the gospel around the world, that has helped us go from place to place to place. I could almost go anywhere around the world right now and not have to pay for a hotel. Thank you, God. We found this life by doing the exact opposite from what the world tells you to do. Chase after it. Just get it. We found this life when we decided to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When we decided, God, it doesn't make sense what's going on. I don't know why you're sending me to Malaysia and then into Cambodia when you're telling us this and we got this camera, but we're going to obey you anyway because you saved me. You rescued me when I was 16 years old and nothing I have is enough to ever thank you for that. So here I am. Everything I have is yours. I surrender. When we said that, God took us somewhere crazy, but it wound up putting us perfectly in the exact right place to see God's will for our life come to pass. Real quick, Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. I preached this in your youth, but I want to share it with you too. The word delight, if you look it in the original language, is the word pliable, to be soft, to be molded. You want God to, we read it, hey, I'm going to be happy in Jesus and he's going to give me everything I want. Well, I hope he does, if it won't hurt you. But what it's really saying is if you will let him mold you and shape you, if you will put his priorities before yours, if you will let him tell you to break that off, cut that off, stop that, change that, do this, do that, learn that, sit under that ministry, serve in this ministry, before long he will shape your desires to match his own. And what's so cool about that is one day you'll be sitting in a corn shack in Laos preaching the gospel and happy about it. I truly believe that God has a unique plan for every single person on this earth. I know you hear that and you wonder, how can that be? And the Bible says that he wrote a book with all your days in it. But I do really believe this. How are you going to grasp the life? You're going to grasp the life when each of us realize that we have to surrender 100% of ourselves to God and quit chasing that never-ending wind. It's only when we submit our will fully to God that we set ourselves to walk the path He has appointed for us. I remember when I was 16 when I got saved, I went down twice in 1 week. First time I went down, I dipped my toe in the water and see if Jesus would take a little piece of me. Now, I'm still fixing things in my life. We all are. But I knew He wasn't going to play that. So 3 days later, I went out to the ocean and I had a marble that represented my life and I chunked it in saying, all of me. And I felt something and I haven't been the same ever since. We are not smart enough to find God's life without God's leading. We are not smart enough to find the abundant life without God's help. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Listen, you cannot see around the next bend. But God can see the beginning and the end. He can direct your paths once you fully surrender to Him. We were in Indonesia. I love Indonesia. I love that country. Spiciest food you've ever eaten in your life. I took one bite of some pepper and I drank every bit of water in the house. It was ridiculous. I was in Indonesia and we love Muslim people. We love sharing the gospel with Muslim people. I want them to know Jesus. I want to embrace them. And we were there and there was this medical outreach set up with some people and I was set to go. We were set to go. We were scheduled and everybody was excited about it. And I remember it just didn't, something wasn't right. I had a check in my spirit about it. But I didn't want to embarrass my friends. I didn't want to let everyone down. But it got so bad that I could not ignore it. God was really stepping up and saying, listen to me. And I decided at that point, you know what? I can't go. And I told my friends. Well, they went and they hit a motorcycle in an extremist area. Wound up in jail. Now get this. This is so cool. They were listening to the Holy Spirit too. They were supposed to go anyway. Because they wound up leading a family to know Jesus. But they told us when we got back, Dustin, if you would have been there, we would have all been in so much trouble. See, God knows what's coming around the bend. We're not smart enough to figure this out. I couldn't have put this together, how we're going to travel around the world. I couldn't have got this stuff on TV. I couldn't have done it, but God can. Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We're in India. We're in India and we have been preaching for, it seemed like we went for weeks and weeks. I wanted to see how much I could do for the gospel in a short amount of time. So we were tired. The night before there had been a few little problems and we were driving all the way to India, all the way to India from here, that's a long ways. We were driving to this village and everybody in the car was just like, and I remember thinking, tonight is going to be the worst night we have ever done. I was like, God's going to move. Speak faith. We're going to do this. And they're like, yeah, thank you, God. All of our teammates were tired. We were exhausted. We were beat. And we got there and it was this little bitty place and it wasn't much bigger, 12 feet wide and there was nobody there. So I went and stood in the little alleyway by the road and just let everybody see the white bait, we call it white bait. I'm white, get it? Y'all didn't know, but I am. And slowly people started to come. And that night I remember thinking, God changed something, this is going to be rough. And by the end of that night, Hindus were lined up outside, staring in the window because they didn't want to come in. In the doorway, it was like head, 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 head. People listening. And God started healing them outside of the church. And they started coming to the front testifying. A deaf ear was opened that night. People's lives were transformed that night. When we were at our weakest and we didn't think we could make it, we were so tired. Because you can't. You can't just do it on your own. When you see us do these things, you're like, wow, how do you do that? Grace. It's grace. There's one where we go up river for hours and hours to this jungle place and we share the gospel. And Pastor Luke and I were talking man, that was crazy. I'm like, I know. I felt like I was watching because the grace was on us. We are not strong enough to get God's plan on our own. Proverbs 4:12 says, there's a way that seems right to man, but in its end, it ends in death. But its end is the way of death. I want you to know that God has a great plan for you, an amazing plan for your life. And the one thing I want to inspire you with tonight is that it's possible that God can lift you out of whatever situation you are in. He can lift you out of prison and put you in a throne. He can build you up and strengthen you. He can give you that fulfillment. But how are you going to find life? We have got to all get to the place of surrender where we are willing to lay it down freely for the kingdom of God and for the love of Jesus. No more excuses. No halfway surrender. Christ is not our Lord until we submit ourselves fully to Him. If He does not have access to change our lives, then we are not His subject. And if we are not His subject, we have nothing to do with His plans. But if we are. This is from my devotional. I'm going to start ending and probably tell you just a few more things because I want to pray with you tonight. This is from my devotional yesterday. I wrote it down. I put, there is no such thing as following Christ and still dictating your own direction. When you made Christ your Lord, you surrendered the right of navigation. And it's a good thing you did, because you would, without a doubt, wind up back in the ditch. Surrender is not only meant to teach us that we are not God, but also to teach us that we are not capable of steering ourselves. We need a capable driver that knows the way and cares about getting us there. Christ is capable. He is all-knowing. And He is good. Matthew 13, 45 through 46, last scripture, maybe. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. What about your life? Let me ask you tonight. What are you seeking for? People are looking for peace right now. You know that? People are looking for joy, provision. People are looking to feel full on the inside. They thirst and they want something to quench this thirst. People around the world, I'm telling you, I've been all over this thing. And the job is far from done. There are entire people groups who know nothing about Jesus. And if I can find them within a day of a major city, they are everywhere. The job is not done and they are thirsty. This seeking for abundant life, this seeking for revolutionary life is cross-cultural and worldwide. And I know you have it in you. And some of you have grasped it. And because you grasp it, you won't let go for anything. They would have to pry your hands off the sword because you're not going to let go. But some of you have chased the wind and you want to stop running so hard. And I want you to stop running so hard. You're not smart enough, you're not strong enough on your own, but together, Christ can lead you and He can give you that abundant life that you are searching for. Jesus said, if your hand sins, cut it off. You know that verse, you may have heard it before. Anything that God asks you to change. Listen. Anything. No matter who it is, no matter what it is, no matter what location it is, it's not worth missing that feeling that I get when I'm serving God with all of my heart. It is revolutionary. It is the way we were meant to be alive. There was a saint said one time, the glory of God is man fully alive. You want to be fully alive, it's only going to come when you lay it down. Full surrender. And here we are, we are now back in America for a little bit. We have some plans to go to Indonesia in the future. We have plans this year, God willing, to go to Nepal to empower people, locals, to reach their people in Nepal, youth. We want to, God willing, I say God willing because the Bible tells us to, we want to go to South Africa. We have people calling us saying, come, I want to preach. You preach the gospel in South Africa. I want you to preach the gospel up the coastline. And we're going to go. And the thing the Lord has put on our heart now for this third part of our ministry is to deploy. And we're actually facing the largest, to me, it's the scariest thing we've ever done compared to other things. That must mean we're with God, right? We're looking for a place in South Tennessee, and we're going to build a training camp, a training boot camp for missions. Well, we take people and we put them in these little makeshift villages that we've created. And we make them eat crazy foods, and every once in a while we cut off the hot water so they know what it's like. And we teach them holistically how they can go and impact lives and do apostolic work around the world. It's, to me, that thing of moving to a place in America. I mean, we gave up our home, all these different things. That was, I was kind of excited. It wasn't that nice a place anyway, you know. But when I'm thinking about what God's taking us to right now, it's bigger than anything we've ever done. It's monstrous. It's not as big as our God, though. It's nothing too hard for him. But in my devotional times in the morning, Pastor Joel preached Sunday about how you have to have that time to pull away. I listen to the podcast all over the world. I listen to it right here. In my time, I've been reading Joshua, the end of Deuteronomy and Joshua. You know what God keeps telling me over and over again? Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Surrender to me. Follow me, and I will show you things that you cannot even imagine. So he's saying that to me. And as I close, I want to say it to you. I'm going to pray with you. And when I do, some of you are going to have things that pop in your mind that God's saying to change. I'm begging you, be pliable. You're going to have things pop in your mind, things that he tells you to cut off, things he tells you to do. I don't know. I mean, every situation may be completely different in this room. I mean, it is completely different. You could have extreme situation where he tells you to move, to quit your job, to get a new one, to go after that thing. You could have simple stuff where he tells you to continue being faithful in what you're doing. I don't know. But let me tell you this last thing. Be brave. Be strong. Be courageous. Find it in yourself to stand. And when you've done all to stand, stand. Fight the good fight of faith. When you felt like you're on your back and you're laying there, you fight for the faith. You keep confessing healing. You keep confessing provision. You keep confessing abundant life. You stand strong in the Lord. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He has amazing plans and he has a plan to get you there. Submit. Darlene's going to come up and she's going to play that song again. But before I do, I remember when I was 16, I told you about when I got saved. I'll never, ever forget that day. I was miserable, broken. I wanted to kill myself at 16 years old, and that is crazy, right? But it happens. And I remember when I threw that marble into the ocean. I threw it with all I had. And I remember the prayer was so simple. It said, God, this is all of me. And if you will take this, I will serve you. As long as you give me the strength, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. Because I imagined my whole world in that marble. I imagined everything. And I reared back as hard as I could. And I threw it into the Gulf of Mexico. And when it left my hand about that far, it was almost like lightning struck me. And whatever that depression was died. It disappeared. And I knew God had accepted me. Why do we do these crazy things? Because of that moment in my life. Why does Darlene do it? Because of those moments in her life. A full surrender. And maybe you're in here tonight. And you've never fully surrendered your life to Jesus. You've played games maybe. Maybe it's a religion to you. It's something you do. You go to church. I'm telling you, You can go ahead and play. If you will fully surrender, you will find abundant life in Him. If you'll just close your eyes for a minute, I want to talk to this group of people first. If you're in here tonight and you have never fully surrendered to Jesus, you've never given your whole heart to God, there's no condemnation in this room. No one is going to judge you. We are here for you. This is a family. We stand for each other. And you want to tonight make a full surrender. You want to find life? Tonight is your opportunity to lose it by giving it fully to Jesus. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand and let me see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand over here. I see your hand. I see you on the side. Now, everybody in here, pray this after me. Say, God, I need you. On my own, I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. But I can do all things through you. Tonight, God, I surrender. For those of you who said that, raised your hand, listen, say this. Say, Jesus, I surrender. I give you all of me. I hold nothing back. Take me to abundant life. Now everyone repeat. Say, Jesus, you are my Lord. From this point on, I make you my master. I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. And I confess right now that Jesus is Lord. And I surrender. Forgive me. Wash me by the blood of Jesus. Make me new. Fill me up. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, you just got born again. And same thing happened to me when I was 16. That's what you're feeling right now in your heart. Afterwards, you probably catch somebody in here.